I don't know your On the Radio song.
It's Donna Summer.
Sing
on
it.
On the radio. Whoa.
I applaud your lack of shame. It makes you good.
Who cares?
Really, we'll all be dead sooner than later. Especially the way we eat between recordings.
Like Superman's pet dog, Dragonfly. Did.
It's like the scene where Kenny Powers and his mom are exchanging meds. It's like, oh, you got a Vic? I got a Dexedrine. I'm like, I got some peanuts. I got a candy bar and a Mountain Dew. We're just getting fatter by the second in the lunchroom. I hate
wine.
It. Like, we can't. Yeah, we make it through 1 hour of not eating. We're like, how did we do it?
We're so strong.
Killing us. Damn it.
Now we know how those people in third world countries feel.
you're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio, with me today, as she has been for a while, the Three Stooges, Allison Frank.
That's me. Oh, golly, Ned.
The show's website, if you're listening now, the
yes.
One thing I can say, go
Do
to
it.
InPapa'sBasement.com. You're going to get stopped. Make an emotion like you're masturbating and hanging yourself at the same time. Don't carotene at me, young lady.
I was just going to say that.
Am
Turn
I really
your
getting a
phone
call?
Off.
Was I really getting a call?
It must have been an emergency.
I damn that phone. I hate it to hell. Go to InPapa'sBasement.com. There's a new hour-long episode of this show every Monday, every Thursday.
Wow.
And on Fridays, I do a write-up of movies I haven't seen. And
Every Friday?
Every Friday.
Oh, I didn't
except
know
for the ones where I'm really busy.
Oh, I gotcha. So whenever you feel
and
like.
And then sometimes during the week, I'll do an extra something. But really, it's that site's good for the two episodes and the Friday thing.
I gotcha.
And I really haven't cared to do much more lately.
I didn't really notice that they were always loaded for Friday. So.
Yeah, you know, that big internet day.
Whoa.
No. Friday afternoon is an internet ghost town. And it remains that way until Monday morning.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Really, internet usage equals when are people at their desks. It's very, very simple to figure out.
Yeah.
You want us on Twitter? We do a lot on there. If
we
you're
do.
Not going to do the website, and you should,
yeah.
And you should go there, and you should click on the iTunes link at the top and subscribe to us, and you should download the podcasts
wow.
app if you have an iProduct, and look up Papa's Basement and do that to subscribe as well. But if you're not going to do any of that, if you're just lazy and you're okay with that, you're like, I'm settling.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to do in this life.
Yeah.
Just look us up on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm at Papa's Basement. She's at Allison Frank with two L's and a zero.
Yes.
A-L-L-I-S-0-N-F-R-A-N-K.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Facebook.com/Papa's Basement if you are a 42-year-old mother of three and you do Facebook.
Yeah.
And look up those guys that used to blow behind the bleachers
Gross.
During high school. That's what they do now on the
no.
Facebook. It's the older women finding the men who gave them the dick during the Carter administration.
I'm old. I'm not trolling for anybody.
So. Really? But you lost your virginity at like age 38 or something.
Yeah. I mean, I was 56. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Stan from Golden Girls.
I mean, it was just once through a hole in the sheet, you know, so that's what happens.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be romantic.
With Hyman Goldenblatt.
It was for procreation only. But with such little contact, I mean, I don't have any children, so I guess this is a sad story.
I'm as close as it gets. How does that make you feel?
Terrific. So good. Yeah. So, what do you have for us today?
I got three topics.
Woo!
I know. We call it show prep.
Which is none, ever.
We prep before we do the show. We don't just come in and be like, all right, turn on the funny taps.
Yes, we do. You are not. Yes.
Well, because I trust us both to be decent, and we are.
Okay.
Notice I didn't say good. I said decent. We're passable.
Oh, my
People
goodness.
Have hired worse than us. That's what
oh,
I'm gunning
I agree.
For here.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's true. So,
but we got three topics. Uh-huh. We got Paula Deen getting... Yeah. Not fired by Food Network, but not renewed, which is firing.
Yeah.
It's the most puss version of firing you can do.
Yeah.
It's literally as non-confrontational as it gets. It's like
yeah.
when they found out Milton didn't work there, but he was still getting a paycheck. And they're like, so you fired him. No, we fixed the error. We got Paula Deen getting fired,
yeah.
in quotes, because in a deposition under oath, she admitted to using the quote unquote N-word,
right.
Which I'm going to just say right now because we're all adults.
No, we're not. Not me. Bigger?
No, don't worry. We got another episode to play him. Okay, fine. I'll do it later. The big reveal. John says N for the 1,000th time on air.
Do you say it on air?
Yes. I say it on air because it's just a stupid word.
Yeah.
Like, I get it if you're aiming it at someone. Yeah. Like, there's a little black kid and he's opening his Happy Meal.
Yeah.
And he biked to McDonald's and his day was great. And I walk up and I just go, hey, nigger, that's bad. I understand that. To discuss objectively the word nigger and not aim it at someone.
No, I think that there's definitely like the basis on where someone's coming from. You know, how it was said and what's the direction.
Yeah, it was said in horrible ways to keep people out of schools and in chains.
No, I'm saying, yeah, but I mean, if you, it's all like provoked. I got this thing on Twitter the other day. It was one of the followers, somebody had wrote on their page and they said, I just received an email from someone that I don't know. About
for dick pills, they work. Click it.
But he said, or she, I think it's a he. He said, can you believe that they wrote in this email, can I Jew you down on the price? And the person was offended by the term. They aren't Jewish, I don't think.
See, even I would find that shaky because when you're just communicating with someone who isn't like a good friend and you know it's all in jest.
Yeah.
To just be like, I'm gonna yid you down a couple bucks. That's a little
But I think it's probably how that person talks. I wouldn't have been offended by it. And even if I
Well, me neither, but what did I just do 2 minutes ago?
But the thing is I just said, you know what? I've been to Israel, I've been to the Arab Shuk, and I've been to the, you know, the Jewish Shuk, and I kind of
like, and they are cheap. I wouldn't be offended.
No, but culturally, I gained an understanding by being there that as a culture, they kind of view it as you not being, you know, a savvy shopper. You're not, you know.
In the middle, Greece is the same way. If you don't bargain, you're just mark.
Yeah. So
it's almost insulting to be like, oh, I want 50 euros for that purse. Yeah. Okay.
And they do. They kind of think, wow, she just paid $100 for this banana. She's a moron. So she deserves to pay $100 for this banana. Everyone knows they cost.
But haggling is repugnant
to
the average like waspy person.
I guess because we're here, but in all the cultures, like that's just commonplace. I mean,
I only got into haggling because I used to focus on how much I was disgusted by people haggling with me. Like as a locksmith, I can't tell you how many times with me, it's the Indians that I deal with in this area. Oh, I'm being racial now, but hey, I have a lot of Indian customers and they're the ones that tend to haggle with me.
Right.
And they're always like, can you come down on the price? And I had to learn to have a pair of stones and be like, no, just because you speak some words doesn't mean I'm going to take money out of my damn pocket for you.
No, but it is. My mom, she lived there off and on for several years. I mean, 3 years, I guess. But they knew her. My mom lived in Jerusalem. She lived in David's Village right outside Jaffa Gate, which is just a beautiful, stunning, wealthy community. But she was an everyday woman, would hang out on the street. She would be with ambassadors one day, but she could be playing her guitar with a homeless person the next day. And she has a lot of charisma, and everybody knows my mom, no matter where she lives, just everyone knows her. And you just think like, it was funny. Like we go to the Shuk and they would just,
the what?
They call it
the Shuk ones.
They call it the Shuk. That's the shopping area. There's two Shuks, the Arab Shuk and the Jewish Shuk. And, you go to this marketplace that's like outdoor where you buy fruits and the fishmongers and all that, and you just buy your wares and things there. But people knew her. They'd be like, hey, how are you doing?
Whatever. I get it. So, you and your mom are like the queens of kin geniality.
But here's the thing. My mom would go and she'd pick up, you know, a few mangoes or whatever, and they'd say, this is going to be 300 shekels. And my mom's like, 10.
Yeah.
And she'd go, no, okay, 200 shekels. My mom's like, Steve, I was here yesterday. I gave you 10 shekels for these eggs, and it's going to be 10 shekels today. For you, 50 shekels. And my mom's like, yoo-hoo, Steve, it's me. I was, okay, 10. My mom's like, you know what? I'll just go somewhere else. Oh, no, they don't want you to leave. So, you know, it's just, but they knew her. They knew my mom by name. They knew her by face, and still, they're like, we're going to get her today.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
It's all in good fun.
But you can do that. You can do that bartering. At the malls, at the shopping malls, at the grocery stores, everywhere. You're like, you got a cash register. It's marked with a price. And at the marketplace.
Well,
you know what I mean, it's different.
It works at like those little kiosks in the middle of the mall.
No, everywhere.
You can't walk into Best Buy and be like, this iPhone 200. I don't think
in
so.
In Israel, their version.
Oh,
of it,
oh, yeah. I thought you meant over here.
Oh, no.
Like
no,
we
no.
just go to the mall down the street.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, even in that, it's very structured and you're in a business and some of them are like a chain or something, but you can still do that there. I was just like, what? It's marked. My mom's like, don't pay that for that. I'll be like, well, it says. You know what I mean? It says it's 15 shekels. My mom's like, not today. Like, come up here. I'll be like, okay.
You're with me.
I mean, and at the grocery stores, you can do that as well. And you think, whoa, but it's a business. Like, it's a big business. Like, some fishmonger, I can see you haggling him or me, and you're doing your Craigslist thing. You can haggle because it's you. But again, like, going
you mean
to
haggling
Best
with the prostitutes?
to do with the Best Buy. And you're like, hey, I just bought an. Whatever, a Wii from John, and I got it for this, so I want this controller. No, you can't.
No, yeah. Hell no.
So, but I understand culturally that whole
that's why people
down kind of thing.
Really abhor car shopping, and it's like almost Carfax, or not Carfax, was it CarMax?
Yeah.
CarMax tries to sell itself by being like, our price is just set. What's on the sticker, you're paying. And people in America are like, oh, thank God. Thank God I can't chisel a dollar off this. What they tell me I'm paying, I'm paying, goddammit. Yeah. It's weird
so,
to me.
So, I mean, so the whole, like, N-word thing, I mean, I think just to, I mean, I don't know, what is the story?
Let,
like,
me,
what,
let me give you the whole story.
Okay.
After we took that lovely detour to Israel.
Well, because it was the whole Jew him down and the N-word. Like, I'm not
I,
offended by it, but I understand.
How brains work. I know how one thing cascades to the other.
Yeah, but sometimes we get lost off track.
That's why I'm looking up like a porn star's name, and then 10 clicks later, I'm reading the Wikipedia entry for Happy Days. I know how this pans out.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Paula Deen, I believe under deposition it came out. So they literally just said, look, have you, for whatever reason, I think she was getting sued, actually, by a former employee.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, like, what happened with that employee? Like, what is the employee? Is he saying that she directed those remarks at her, or he just overheard them? Like, to me.
Well, okay. Last year, I looked this up. Last okay. year, there was an employee that was suing Paula Deen and alleged that she said about a wedding for her brother, throwing a wedding for the brother. Well, what I would really like is a bunch of little niggers to wear long sleeve white shirts, black shorts, and black bow ties. You know, in the Shirley Temple days, they used to tap dance around. Now, that would be a truly Southern wedding, wouldn't it? But we can't do that because the media would be on me about that. Very perceptive of her. The media might get uppity about making the little nigglets dance. Paula Deen, a keen mind.
I mean, not if they wore bones in their hair.
Well, of course not, yeah. Just be like an old Tom and Jerry.
It's a tribal thing.
But that was alleged last year. So
but they said something about it was sexual and some other kind of discriminatory.
See, I don't know the details. I remember that story from last year on The Superficial that she was getting sued. And the person alleged, I believe, hearing that as well as just hearing Paula Deen throw out nigger.
But, like, that's not even directed at her. And
no.
If they're...
No, it's not. Exactly.
So who cares?
Like, well, so under oath, Paula Deen was like, yeah, I've said nigger.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, anyone under oath. I love how people have to
that,
wiggle.
But I don't even think she said that. She said, I may have used the word. And, you know, when I was growing up, there was a lot of segregation and all that. And whatever, it was kind of like.
Let's
whatever.
Not even put it into the context of the fact, like her parents probably own people, that old bitch. Her grandparents.
Yeah.
Like, not even the context of the South. I just, for me, I'm bowled over by how lame this world is that we're up someone's ass for like a word that she's apparently not really aiming in a hateful manner. It's a hateful word, don't get me wrong, but it's the same way like a gun isn't dangerous unless it's like loaded and pointed at someone. If I just own a gun and it's sitting there and doing nothing, it's an object. It really holds no power.
Well, I mean, in a sense, I do think words have meaning, and I do think that words can be powerful and all of that. And I do think, I mean, I myself, I choose my words very carefully. I really do. So people don't ever get me in a loophole or say, hey, you said you were going to do this on Tuesday, or you said you were going
to. Oh, you mean the way that I'm like, remember when I told you to retweet that post? And you're like, I'm on it.
Yeah, because I want them.
You do choose your lying words very carefully, Allison.
No, because I don't want them to be clustered together. That's kind of defeating the purpose, don't you think?
So you just don't tweet them at all?
Well, we're going to do a cannonball at the same time, but we're both supposed to be showcasing and making a show of it? No.
You can
One gets invisible.
We'll get into horrible Twitter promotion on our part later.
Anyhow, but what I'm saying is that I do think words have meaning and all that, and I think you can offend somebody.
Well, yeah, that's the basis of communication.
But the thing is if something's in passing and I hear somebody saying, oh, yeah. My, that stupid German cousin of mine, blah, 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 or, you know, I don't want his Nazi ways taking over Thanksgiving or whatever, that's not even directed at me. That's somebody's personal conversation mm-hmm. about someone else. It's not even, but I could see if somebody got offended if I'm working somewhere and they're like, hey, let the lazy dumb Polack.
I was going to say, you understand that in your dumb ski.
Well, not only that, but I'm like a Jewish Polack.
Yeah.
So like I should, my birthmark should be like a bullseye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I shouldn't, like, that's just a devil whammy. I'm stupid and a Jew.
You're a starter lock.
You know what? I should just sleep in an oven. That's what I should do, you know?
You'll burn well is what we're going for.
I smell something delicious. So, I mean, if that's what it is, and if she's losing her job for just passing comments, but I did hear a little something about a sexual thing, too.
I am just putting it out here because I don't want to go on record and it's like me defending Paula Deen and tomorrow we learn that she walked up to Stevie Wonder and hissed "you despicable nigger" in his ear.
Yeah.
Like, where I'm coming from, what I understand of this, it has come out simply that she has used the word.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's all I could find myself. Is this?
Yeah.
And then
because everyone's so afraid to report the context,
but
everyone has to call it the word.
But not only that, I'm fine with that. They can just call it the word. We all know what it is. But when you see journalists even reading it, and when I read online myself, it just said, you know, they ask her directly, have you ever used this word? And she says, you know what? I grew up in a time where it was kind of commonplace, and I may have said it here or there since then, but it's not a word that me and my family just throw around all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then after that, they asked her some other kind of specific question. And again, it was kind of like, you know, maybe or something, but there's not one specific thing. It's not like I said, hey, Steve, you're, you know, stupid.
It's just
stupid N-word.
It's not, I don't believe in words having an innate ability to hurt unless they're getting aimed at you.
I mean, sticks and stones, I understand that. But I think if it had affected, like it was, if it's me and they're saying, you know, I work in an office, I work in a law firm, or I work in somewhere where it's very professional. But at the end of the day, we all kind of have to take up, you know, the cleaning service isn't here this weekend, so we all have to take out our own trash. And they're like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Let the Polack take it. Like, hey, one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's going on here? And you're like, what's wrong? We all have to take out the trash or whatever. Yeah, but why does the Polack have to do it? Like, I have the same degree as everybody else. Like, you know what I mean?
So and that's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
That is wrong. And
I wouldn't even be offended. I'd be more offended that I have to take out all the trash. I don't care what you call me to do it. I'm like, hey. You know, I put in my time like everybody else. So,
just to me, if you came out and you're like, Paula Deen had like a black production assistant.
Yeah.
And she got mad at her and called her a nigger sometime.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive enough to be like, you know what? Fire her over that. No one deserves to be dehumanized in that way. But here, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag because we all want to act like we're above it.
Yeah.
In the course of just about everyone's life, we've said every bit of hate speech we can handle.
I mean, I don't swear, but I mean, I've used the N-word. And I think part of it is kind of where I grew up culturally and everything.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives me liberty to kind of poke fun. And I'm one of those kind of chameleons where I can just get in and fit in no matter where
I am. Like a shifty Polack usually is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of you insidious Jews worming your way into our...
I told you, my mom and my dad...
The fabric of our society.
I know I told you this story before, but my dad... My mom is infamous for, I mean, as
lots
a kid...
Lots of things, apparently.
I mean,
a
she
haggler.
Just would get us into all kinds of... Like, everything was a Lucy episode on crack. I mean, just my mom would get us in these pickles that were just... Wind us up in jail and
but
everything
they were
else.
Solved in 28 minutes.
No, like, we're still reeling the repercussions. But my mom was known for this. Like, my dad always talks about them being out on a first date or, And my mom was wearing glasses with no lenses, just frames. And she just spoke with a German accent the whole time. And my dad's like, who the heck is this? My dad's like, what kind of show is going on? And then the server comes over and says, you know, can I start you off with something to drink? And my dad ordered whatever he ordered. And my mom said, no, just I'll take a nice water. And so the server leaves. And my mom, when he comes back with the drinks, gives my mom the water, gives my dad. My mom reaches into her bra and pulls out a Kool-Aid packet and starts to make Kool-Aid lemonade or something.
What a catch.
Yeah. What like a catch. She just like a cucamonga.
Your
she's
dad's got balls. I could not have gotten out of there
well, the
fast
thing, my
enough.
Mom's saving, like she was wicked hot, so you're willing to kind of like, hey.
Oh, I've been there. I'll just. Been there.
This is crazy lady. But my
she's not terrifyingly weird. She's just eccentric.
So my mom winds up taking my dad. She says, hey, let's go ahead and meet some friends. We're going to have like a cookout or something. My dad's like,
code
hey.
For orgy.
My dad's like, all right. Like, I'm a fun guy.
First date key party. So courting in the 70s.
So they show up and there's not a white person there. My mom and my dad are the only white people in a sea
well,
of black people.
Looking at you, quote unquote, white.
I know, exactly. I was babysitting the other day and the little girl says, I'm going to be this one. And it was the blonde hair yeah. or whatever. And she said, you can be the brown one. I was like, what?
It's what you can be, Allison.
Anyhow, so my dad, being the funny guy that he is, mm-hmm. I mean, it was.
Did he pull a Michael Richards and start screaming it?
No, but he was uncomfortable. And he thought, you know what? Jane has got me into like.
I'm going to get robbed. What a racist thought on your father's
part.
No,
he didn't think he was robbed, but he's like, hey, maybe you could have prepped me for this. Like, I'm not wearing my FUBU gear or yeah. whatever. You know what I mean? Like, why not a heads up? Like, before we go down here to Jungle Town or whatever.
Would have put on the Earth, Wind, and Fire t-shirt.
I'm not wearing my fro. Yeah. I don't, you know. So he goes in and he leans over to this black guy and he said, I heard there were a lot of N-words here. You don't see any, do you? And the guy just laughed, you know, he just, you know, like, hey, it's
as
funny.
He should have. It's a good line.
I mean, because
kudos to both of those people. In that, I mean, that scenario.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think you can just it depends on where motivationally you're coming from when you say angry things. But I think more hurtful things can be said without the N-word or without, you know, racial slurs. I think people can use powerful things.
Yes. If you're.
As far as discrimination goes, you know
yes,
what I mean?
My yeah, you're right. My ex was what black and Indian, and I managed to call her a cunt 9 ways to Sunday without race hate.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So that to me, that's more. You know what I mean? You can be more offensive without saying the N-word.
Now you're just trying to get into the art of insulting someone. And yeah, if you bring up the racial stuff, you kind of sound dumber for it. In all
honesty, you kind of do. Yeah,
like you're just limited.
Right. And it's the same way with people. We talked about this just a few minutes ago. People always using the F-bomb to add funny. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's not. If you're an older person, if you're a child, or if you're a foreigner, then the F-word comes out kind of funny because it's unexpected. You don't expect to see this old Japanese man, you know, use the F-bomb or a toddler or something. But, I mean, if you're an adult, come on, use your words. It's not really necessary. So. It's not funny. So I think you can offend people without using those words. I'm not offended necessarily by them.
Well, this wasn't about offense. It's about Paula Deen losing her livelihood for saying words that were not particularly aimed at
anyone.
Maybe
we don't have the whole story.
We absolutely do not.
Yeah.
That is why I want to make abundantly clear. From what I know, she was just chewing on a sandwich, looks up, says, nigger, and goes back to her sandwich.
Yeah.
And someone overheard it.
Yeah, now she's going to lose her job for that.
So, yeah.
But my thing is if this is all... if it
after
was,
the hasty apology, after like 14 YouTube videos that were like, I cannot heart black people enough.
Exactly.
And each one was then like yanked down and replaced with an even more obsequious one.
It was funny. When I worked at the hospital, there was one of our transport people. And then what they would do is they would transport people from... you know, their patient rooms to whatever service they needed, whatever test or scan, or if they needed an EKG or an X-ray or whatever, or they were going for therapies, we'd hold these transport people, and they would just transport. Anyhow, for me, the job that I did, I wasn't allowed to leave the area of the hospital that I worked. I was confined there and had to monitor the patients at all times. And I was the only one that did what I did, so I couldn't leave. So I relied.
I love you, but where is this going? Jesus
Anyhow,
Christ.
Anyhow, but she, I couldn't leave, so I relied on the transport people all the time. But there was one in particular who seemed to work a lot, and she is black. And she would always come in, she'd go, oh, you have a problem with black people? Like, what are you? And she was kind of funny and joking around and was always busting my chops. And I was like, no, I love black people. I love all people, whatever. And I was like, maybe you have a problem with white people, you know? And so I got her a T-shirt that says I love white people on it. And she wore it all the time.
I have that same shirt. Yeah. I wear it on first dates.
You know.
Just
she
like
got
your
in
crazy
trouble
mom.
For wearing it at the hospital, though.
But she loves white people.
She does.
Why? What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm just very turned off that we live in a society, and there's so many people now debating whether or not this woman should have lost her livelihood
over
a word that wasn't directed, as far as I know, again, at anyone, and she shouldn't have.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, they're words.
But my
dude.
Thing is, like, they're saying,
"God damn it, Allison!
Listen.
Stop, so I can talk for a second. It's your thing, everything. My thing, this. My thing, that.
But she,
you got a lot of things. I get it."
But they're not renewing her contract. I'm thinking, well, maybe they just didn't want to. So this is their loophole out, you know?
I don't think they would have needed an excuse. They could have just been like, it's not a termination of contract.
Yeah.
Like they could have, if they used this to terminate a contract earlier, the same way the Yankees are trying to wiggle out of the A-Rod contract because of juice.
No, it's a renew.
But this is just a renew. If they didn't want her, they'd simply not renew anyhow.
But maybe it makes it easier. You know what I mean? Because she
it
has a lot
hurt.
Of, she has a big fan base. She's like, she's got like, 5 shows on there or something. Like
I don't
unreal.
Watch the network, but it's at this point like her sons or something have shows on it.
Well, her sons do, she does, and then her and her husband, like there's a lot of spinoffs, and then her and her husband travel and do food stuff.
I wonder if the kids like all get to keep their shows, but they have to act really into black people.
now we'll find out.
Like they're gonna be cooking like Ethiopian dishes and stuff like that.
This is a hand job stew.
And wearing kente cloths. And the shikis. I would like that. But it very much turned me. Because every network then, the only people who are allowed to discuss race safely are black. So like CNN's like, let's go to our black person who's the only one who can have an opinion on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's too much. And from what I read, there was just...
It's gone crazy. And look, I'm letting everyone's secret out. Guess what? We've all said racial stuff. You know, I don't hate gay people as a kid growing up. I said fag 6 million times.
Oh, I say gay all the time.
I don't really direct it at anyone nowadays. No. I'll still say it once in a blue moon. I'll be like, oh, it's faggy. I don't really mean anything
I'll
by
say
it.
Faggity.
Yeah, faggity. Yeah, yeah. I'm more a fan of faggity myself. And I understand that's hateful. And I really try not to drop it in everyday conversation. But it's just something I said in my past. Because, again, times have changed. Okay. When I was 10... You said quit being a fag like it was nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I were under oath and it was like, have you ever said fag? Yeah. Bam. I would lose whatever I had. Thank God I have nothing. I would lose my kittens and the dinosaur sheets I sleep under. But everyone's, and I love also only white people, white straight people can be racist. Everyone said everything.
Yeah.
I love hearing my black friends say chink and my Asian friends bitch about the Jews. It's just... We all just, everyone
says
things. I mean,
there are some people who don't, and they just are very culturally aware, or they just don't. And they don't. They don't use those words. They don't say them or whatever.
I think they're the only type I really know are like the ultra, ultra liberal, where, and I'm not saying it's like a liberal idea to not use hate speech. No, it's just a good idea. Like, you have to be some lefty to not grow up saying, where I want some spick food tonight, mama. But you heard it growing up now. You just had an uncle who said it. Like, that was my introduction.
Yeah.
I came up and my dad never said nigger in the house. And my mom never said nigger. And when I was 8, my uncle was like, hey, have you heard the one about, like, the niggers and the bowling balls? And I had to turn to my mom and be like, Mom, what's a nigger? And she wanted to stab my uncle's throat.
You know, actually.
But you just learn. You learn these things coming up eventually. Jesus. You hear them.
My uncle at Christmas time, he took this joke. And he's like, these two guys standing up on a cliff. He's a white guy and a black guy.
Yeah.
And so the white guy jumps off the building. He goes halfway down and then he pops back up. And he's like, yeah, just try it. He's trying to convince the black guy to do it. And he goes, no, I don't. I mean, I can't. He goes, no, look, it's really easy. And he goes, and he jumps. The white guy jumps down, goes halfway down the building.
Is this going to be the first joke in your new act?
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing open mics, folks. It's going to kill.
So then he convinces the black guy. The black guy's like, you know what? I'll try it. And so he jumps off the cliff and he falls to the bottom and splat.
Oh. Right. Oh, no.
And then the two guys are
joke
down.
Doesn't need a punchline. Just stop right there.
The two guys at the bottom go, Superman sure does hate those N-words.
It's such a dumb
But, I mean, joke. I was like 6 years old or seven or yeah. something. And I remember it. And I just thought, oh, like.
Oh, the first. Because I could tell it was so forbidden.
Yeah.
It had such power over me when I was like, I laughed hysterically for the next 3 to 5 to 18 years.
Yeah.
Anytime I saw my uncle, it was like, have you heard about the nigger and the bear and this and the nigger? And it was just.
But for me, it wasn't because of the way I was raised. I realized my uncle kind of had a little twist on it. And it was the whole kind of racial thing. But for me, it was almost like it came off as like, oh, Superman doesn't like that guy. Like Superman was just playing on a trick on any guy because I grew up. And like Chad Brown in Rhode Island, which I was the only vanilla bean around, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So it didn't
resonate. The hard streets of Rhode Island, exactly.
I mean, it is kind of rough. I mean, that's like Sopranos Evan over there. Everyone's in the mob, so.
To wrap it up in a nice bow, though, this same uncle who you're like, oh, he's saying nigger jokes left and right.
Yeah.
He must be racist. He had a kid.
Yeah.
You know what that kid, my cousin, got fired for doing?
I don't know.
He was in a band. At a casino, like a house band, and they had a black keyboardist.
Mm-hmm.
And someone in the audience, in a hateful manner, called the keyboardist a nigger.
Yeah.
My cousin puts down his drumsticks, hops into the audience, and beats the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
And you know what? He lost his fucking job for it.
Yeah.
For helping this guy out.
Yeah.
So I just want to say you can use words in a non-malicious way.
Right.
And it doesn't reflect any actual hate in your heart.
Yeah.
And when push comes to shove, my cousin, the spawn of this man, who couldn't say nigger enough around me, got fired for helping out his black friend who was called nigger in a hateful manner.
Yeah.
They're words, people.
No.
They're words. No one deserves to lose their income over words or like any kind of stupid joke or slip up. We're human.
But it is. If those words are every day, let the Pollock do it or let this do it. And it's always about that.
Anytime it's directed at someone in a hateful way, that's crappy.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's like a one time.
But to me, it's the same. It seems to only bear merit if they do use those kinds of words. But if you're like, hey, they're always picking on me to take out the trash, whether they use that word or not. Like, it's still kind of discriminatory.
It is, absolutely. Reason.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm black and I'm prejudiced against, but you never call me nigger.
Yeah. I mean, I worked at a place in Maryland at the rehab, and they were very prejudiced against white people. And it was just, it was.
What? No, blacks are never prejudiced. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. It was very, very difficult. And it was so open about it. It was it made it very difficult to work there because you couldn't report anything. You almost had to report it to one of the African staff and have them report it to the supervisor because it was almost like you weren't even speaking. So I could say, hey, listen, this person had a seizure. They went to the hospital. And the director just looked as if she was looking right through me. And then, you know,
that's happened
some
to
of
me.
My
I mean, like,
and then,
you know where my
but
job
it's very blatant.
Takes me all over kinds of neighborhoods. I've been in black neighborhoods and I'm the only white guy like in a restaurant just trying to get a bite for lunch. And it like you described, it's blatant. Like there's you're at the front of the line. There's 18 black people behind you. They're all getting served before you, buddy.
Yeah.
And you just sit there and take it on the chin. What can I do?
But the thing is, like, it's difficult to prove because they aren't using any kind of racial thing. You know, everyone's
cordial. And I couldn't taste the semen in my food.
But you can't report anything. So we were, like, spinning your wheels. It was a very difficult environment to work in. Although I got along with everybody. I was well-liked by everyone. I didn't enjoy it. I mean, my lack of enjoyment was never read. So they never knew how uncomfortable I was with it. But it was awful. Yeah.
Until you left and then burned some crosses on the front lawn.
I didn't.
You're like, that's how I feel, double pumpers.
I don't do double pumpers. Oh, my.
Poor Paula Deen. You think you can get her on the show?
Yeah, let me call
her. You think she's fallen that far? Close. She can be a special guest?
She's probably a nuts. And I think it's kind of this media's I mean, it's like a sandstorm. I mean, it just seems to be just blowing up. But everyone that's reported it that I can see is just saying the same thing. And when they read the deposition, it's very vague. They're like, she said it one time.
They're all getting off because they're the news. They get to say the naughty word that we don't.
But they don't even say that. They'll just say,
but they get to mention it.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, we can't even in day-to-day conversations say N-word, quote-unquote.
But who cares? Because they're saying it. Like, she said it whenever. Like, they don't even know. Like, yeah. And that's what she's getting canned for? That's ridiculous. So, to me, it seems dumb.
It weirds me out that there are people out there who believe this is right and just.
I mean, it's ridiculous to me. I mean, I kind of like her cooking, so I've used some of her recipes.
I don't give a crap. She's a fat slob pig. I mean, she can go to hell for a million different reasons.
I don't like her as a person, and I heard her restaurant. Yeah, seems like a terrible. Dope. She has a restaurant in Georgia. And, I mean, I heard it wasn't very good, so, but.
Again, I'm sticking up for her just because.
But the recipes seem good.
Speech and freedom and that thing. She seems like a turd on wheels. I hate her hair. I hate her big fat cheeks.
My mom really hates her. Oh. And Klosterman also hates her. So maybe he can redeem himself with that.
A little bit.
He can.
Working his way back.
She was.
There's a great photo, by the way, if you look up Katy Perry, Paula Deen. They've morphed Katy Perry's face onto Paula Deen. Here, you look it up right now. Yeah. This is the one time you can screw off on your laptop in front of me and I won't bite your head off. And it simply says, Paula Deen with Katy Perry's face is still Paula Deen. It's very creepy looking because the features line up. As long as you don't shave off the triple chin and like the jowls.
Oh, gosh, I'm not on the network. I'll look it up.
Oh, no. I want you to see it. Okay, can you pretend you are on the network and you just saw it?
Oh, my. Ah, yeah.
Nice.
I'm looking at a white screen. Bah!
You must have tricked all of your lovers with that acting skill.
Yeah. It's coming up now, I think.
Let's talk about parallel comedy next.
Because
we also. Oh, you did find it?
Creepy. They're twins, I think.
Couple of distinct.
Oh, look, they put one in her like a bustier. They put Paula's face on her.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Like right there on the bottom left.
Jesus. That was real, by the way. I'm not that good an actor.
That is crazy.
You were saying earlier, though.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before, but screw it. We got 20 minutes to kill.
Okay.
You called it parallel comedy. I call it convergent evolution. Oh. Like a scientist man person.
Yeah.
And you were putting out there, we were talking about the James Gandolfini death, and you made a reference to too much gabagool,
right.
More or less. And
yeah.
I was saying, well, you're the 2000th person to make a gabagool reference. And you're
right.
Like, I was the first one I heard do it. And you're right. There are only so many ways to go on a joke.
Yeah.
Especially the easy paths.
Yeah. Like everyone now, like on Twitter,
yeah,
they're talking about World War Z. Everyone's saying, well, I call it World War Z, you know, because it's a snooze.
What a zinger.
Yeah. But I mean, everyone's on that bandwagon. So I'm sure a lot of people are now saying, hey, now there's tweet thieves and everything. But it's an easy one.
It's so easy.
It's right there.
And you're talking, okay, a funny brain. It's kind of a similar personality type. You're quiet. You're perceptive. You're snarky. And you're getting the same input. Doesn't it make sense? What's your finger being held up for?
I got another one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Go ahead. Keep going. Chop, chop.
I'm just saying it makes sense. You're going to get similar results a lot of the time. In nature, it's called convergent evolution.
Yeah.
Where on two different islands, like a bird grew gills because it needed to swim in the water.
Right.
And it's not like one bird ripped off the other bird.
No.
Because of similar situations, they became the same thing.
Yeah.
Now and back to your thing.
Well, I mean, it's
your
very,
other one.
It's very easy. I mean, if we've all been to the gym and we've all had pit stains or we've all had like there's. Like,
I get those just walking down the hallway.
It's very relatable. And so one of the things that kind of I can tell you my own personal thing. I watched a comedy thing the other night. A Nick somebody. I don't know.
What was his name? Nick thing.
I don't know what his name is. I forgot. Maybe it isn't even Nick. Maybe I just made that up.
Okay.
But regardless, he had a Comedy Central half hour special or whatever. And part of his shtick was talking about bed and breakfast. And everyone who knows me knows that I had my own whole big thing on the bed and breakfast. My 1 year anniversary, which was in 1997 from being married, the year Diana died.
Not your your anniversary of sobriety. I like how you specified.
Well, it could be, everybody has an anniversary of something. So, but Princess Diana had died, so that's exactly when it was. So
her
was,
and that lovely Dodi Fayed.
Yeah. So
why do I remember that?
My husband had taken us to a bed and breakfast, and he said, "Oh, this will be wonderful." Or whatever.
I like the bed and breakfast for the romantic things too, because I want to see the faces of the old couple I'll be keeping awake with my loud sex later in the night.
But that's the thing. Like,
and then
the
I
want
to face them the next day as they cook me waffles.
The whole time it was so creepy to me, and so myself.
What, being in someone's house?
Yes, and we paid to stay there. Like, we just paid to be in someone else's house. They're creaking around with Coco or something.
You hear a family fight? You're just part of it?
It's just not good. And I was with my husband. My husband was like, "Yeah, we're going to get down." And I was like, "No, are you kidding?
You can't. You're paying to screw in someone else's house."
And so
it's horrifying.
Look at the paintings closely, because like they're watching
the
us.
The eyes are cut out, like,
yeah,
Scooby-Doo.
So the whole time I was making jokes, and I was tapping on the lamps, and I was going, "Hey, listen. And I was like, "Turn the lights off."
And then
I
your husband
change.
Was making jokes because he's like, "This is great. I paid for no ass. I love this plan."
It was ridiculous. But this comedian, he went on there and he said a lot of similar things. But this was me back in 1997 when I came back. I went and did this whole big story about how creepy it is. And I'm not going to bore you on the radio with it. But I mean,
it really was a Scooby-Doo and one of your friends was just this guy in a mask.
I don't.
Had you thought of that?
Anyhow, so this comedian, he goes in about how creepy bed and breakfasts are, the same thing about paintings and eyeballs and how you feel like you're being watched and you're not going to scrump there because it's creepy.
You're
it's
literally screwing in the room of one of this old couple's children.
It's just, and then they had this particular bed and breakfast. It was even worse. It took it up a notch because then they get up and they fix your breakfast, but you're just in someone else's, it's not your grandma's kitchen. She's not, you know, making your blueberry pancakes, you know.
No, it's just an old lady with like a transparent blouse because the moths have gotten
to it. But my ex-husband, he had this like morning
wood,
you know, dump.
He needed to get taken care
of. But the way the dining room was set up at this place, the doorway to the dining room opened. There was a narrow hallway opened right across. There was a doorway to the bathroom, the common area bathroom.
Oh, so he's wrecking it and it's like seeping out under the door like Creeping Death?
No, when you open the door, it's like...
Oh, backdraft, yeah. Poop backdraft. Right? Just the good air comes in and shoves out all the bad air.
Yeah, I mean, he's making
and
stinky
clouds. It's
like a clouds.
Smog villain from Captain Planet.
Yeah, so I mean, it was just... I mean, but my thing is, like, if I were to go now, if we were talking about open
mics...
What, to
crap in that same toilet?
No, to do open mics and I were to tell this story, they think, oh, she just stole Nick's shtick. You know what I mean? Like, he just did this whole HBO special.
To be fair, I just heard Opie and Anthony on Bed and Breakfast, like Bob Kelly did it too.
Yeah, but this was... I mean, if you ask any one of my friends, they'll all say, oh, man, when Allison talks about that bed and breakfast, blah, blah, blah. And I mean,
it,
this is...
It slays in that black workplace that hated her. The one time they didn't hate her.
No, but everyone knows I had this story. So, but if I were to go up there and do it, then maybe I stole it from Open Anthony or my... But I think we've all had that. The same with black people at the movie theater being too loud. Like, that's just a common thing. Like, a lot of people have experienced that.
I don't see
that.
Color, but go on.
Anyhow, so they were talking about Dane Cook and Louis C.K., and they said that he stole his joke. So at the time...
That was literally an episode of Louis C.K.'s show.
When I watched it on Netflix, I went and I looked it up just to see what he stole. And it was talking about an itchy butthole, right? That's what he stole. He was like, I had an itchy butthole. And then he said, I didn't steal it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
They've had one too?
Exactly. And so Dane Cook was like, I didn't steal it. Like, it's just... And I think we could have all had that.
They're two men who work under heat lamps. They're going to have sweaty, itchy assholes.
Yeah. And so even the things they said, it was a little bit different, but it was kind of the same, but it still pertained to an itchy butthole.
Oh, were there some references to the fact that it itches like the Dickens?
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to fight the urge to scratch it? Ooh, wow.
But then I looked it up just a few minutes ago before the show just to see, and there were a couple other ones, and... The other one I could see being kind of a parallel thing, too. But the one about the bike, they talk about seeing someone on a bike getting hit by a car or they're going to run into a car door or something. And they're like, oh, I wanted to stop this. I wanted to help that person. But all I could yell is whatever. And they both had their own stories on it. Mm-hmm. Like they want to say, hey, watch out. There's a car door. You're going to get hurt and blah, blah, blah. But they're like, in that instant, what can you say except or whatever. and the delivery and everything. But to me, that was too specific of a thing, and I don't know that that would be parallel. But
it could be. I mean, you're talking, again, guys that live in a city. They're going to see bikes interact with cars in violent manners a lot of the time, waltzing around. They're both Boston comics, if I recall.
So, and there was one other one.
Why'd you bring it up, though? The whole parallel. You had me write it down beforehand. Is something going on recently?
Well, because it was my own thing. It was, I watched that comedy thing a couple weeks ago, and he did this whole bed and breakfast thing, and it was almost like he was saying it from my own voice. And I just thought, wow, like, that's crazy.
That's a horrifying thought, Allison.
Well, in a sense it was, but we had
a man with your voice. I'm picturing it now. I'll never have an erection again.
What I'm saying is that what he was saying were things specifically, like me, I was talking into furniture because it felt creepy to me. I was like, you know, my husband was like, come on, let's do it. Let's slam dance. And now I'm a different person. I probably just would. I don't know.
Oh, now you'll just screw in an alley. As long as there's a dumpster to squat behind, you're down for it.
Oh, my goodness. But it was so creepy to me. I was like, this is the worst honeymoon or anniversary thing ever. It's awful. It was just like, it just smelled like old people. Like, I don't know. Like, you just want to crawl up inside an old person's rectum and just swaddle yourself in it. And do you feel like doing it? No. It's like, it smells like mothballs and Ben Gay. Get me out of here. I don't like it. All these floral patterns everywhere. And
I like seeing the faces of people who've been dead for 70 years watching me screw. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it was just
take this with
and
your
his
great
thing,
lord.
Which I didn't say, but he said it was kind of like, you know, being in someone else's house, like a haunted house mixed with like old people or whatever. I didn't have the haunted house kind of feeling. It didn't remind me of that, but it was very like eyes are watching you.
Did two cockroaches come in the middle of the night and you thought they were shape-shifted Jews?
No.
Okay.
But there was another one between that. But then they talk about, but then there was Cosby, who I guess admittedly said that he had stolen a joke from someone about a football player or something.
Carlin, I think, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
what was the joke? Tell the joke.
I don't know what the joke
was. I don't remember it either.
It was just about a football player, but he admitted it. Like, you kind of, and that's why I think some comedy people, they say, you know, they'll say, you know what, I don't listen to so-and-so, or I don't like to listen to it because I don't want anything to kind of sneak in, because it does kind of work your subconscious. You kind of pick up other things or whatever. And again, if you have a similar
That's
observation.
That's so stupid. That is such a dumb thing.
Yeah.
I'm
and I
sorry,
talked about this before.
The Beatles listened to Elvis. They recycled his crap. Musicians have no qualms about this, unless you're literally stealing the riff verbatim.
Yeah.
No one minds when a musician listens to
but
things.
But they're your words. And people all the time on Twitter are talking about tweet stealing. And
people are pathetic on Twitter. I do things on Twitter. You know what? 99% of the people that tweet on Twitter, I goddamn hate them. Yeah. You know how many people are like, oh, you didn't favorite me back. I retweeted this. You didn't retweet that. People making references and jokes about Twitter.
Yeah.
Who cares? If you're putting effort into Twitter, guess what? You're not doing a goddamn real thing.
Well, I mean, I think if it's your job, some people do get paid to do those things.
Who?
I don't know who they are, but they are like official Twitter tweeters or something. You know what I mean? And that's part of their job, to do tweets.
Comedy tweets?
I
got stolen, so I have to make a scene about it? I've seen a lot of people who are like tweeting about how someone else stole their tweet. Who gives a crap?
Well, I mean, I think if you write something, I mean, it is nice to give that other person credit. I mean, if I were going to do that,
it's
then
just such a meaningless thing, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to put something out on Twitter, you really
but
didn't
that's your career. If you're using it,
Delaney is
popular there, and he does stand up. So I don't know.
Yeah,
where
and he has a line stolen.
Yeah,
but if he didn't put it into a performance,
yeah,
then I don't know what to tell him, fella.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of comedians will argue, like, I did it better. Like, yeah, maybe you had that idea, but I'm the one that blew it up and made it famous.
That's like some guy doodling a picture of a car, like an electric car, and then someone actually makes it. And you're like, oh, you stole the concept from me. Well, guess what, lazy ass? He actually did it.
Well, that's like Facebook with those Zuckerbergs, or the Zuckerberg and then the twins there. What's the twins?
The Winklevoss.
Yeah, Winklevosses. I mean, yeah, they had a concept, but they didn't implement it. They didn't blow it up. That was Zuckerberg, I guess. So.
And now you've got guys on Twitter who are like, oh, he stole my drawing and also used it as a drawing. Who gives a crap? You didn't. Neither of you did anything with it. God, just the way people haggle over Twitter stuff.
I guess. I mean,
despicable.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean, really? I think I'd be flattered. You know what I mean? If you see, well,
I've seen people.
Robin Williams is stealing my vagina jokes.
I've seen people, yeah, lift crap from me, and people brought it to my attention before. Yeah. People that have, like, you know, 300,000 followers, yeah, on Favestar. I don't care.
Well, somebody, this is what brought it to my attention. Everyone on there is talking about, like, this Prodigal Sam person, which I don't know, but I see.
I've heard
in
it
my
mentioned.
Own...
Well, he's like a Twitter thief or something.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't. Because I haven't been on there long enough, I don't have a history, but it seems in the small circle that I'm in that that name comes up quite a bit. And I guess he's a tweet stealer and does tweets and makes them his
own. It just, you know who's heard of Prodigal Sam? No one. You know who's heard of you? No one. And like, you're not any bigger because Prodigal Sam stole your crap either. You're a nothing and he's a nothing. If you want to change that, do something. That's why everyone loves Twitter, because it's easy. Yeah. We don't have to do a goddamn thing. We put some words out in space. Oh, I typed into my phone. We used to call that making a phone call. That was the precursor to actually doing something. And now it's the thing.
Well, it kind of reminds me of when I was in first grade.
Hold on. It's a story. I'm gearing up.
It's not a big one.
Okay.
I was in first grade and there was this.
Can I go take a dump? Is it that long?
No.
All right. I won't wipe.
But I mean, I was kind of, I think if you would have asked any one of my teachers growing up, I was kind of like the invisible child. I was a good student, but I wasn't exceptionally remarkable personality-wise. I wasn't like the class clown all over the place or whatever. I think I was just your average Joe kind of person, you know. But for whatever reason, I didn't like this one particular girl. She had red hair, horn-rimmed glasses, and she smelled like fish.
Was she a secretary in 1947?
And I said to my mom,
with bacterial vaginosis.
I said to my mom, like I just called her fish when I wasn't around her. Like I would refer to her as fish.
I've had to say the same about someone.
So fish is behind me in the lunch line. And when I was growing up, you go through the lunch line, you get your lunch. And at the end, you had a choice of three milks. You could have coffee milk, white milk.
Or fish milk.
Or coffee milk.
You said coffee milk twice, you stroke victim.
Chocolate, coffee, or white is what you could
have. You had coffee milk?
It's a New England thing. It's a Rhode Island thing. Coffee milk is coffee syrup.
Lobster milk.
So, chowder head. Chowder milk.
We milk the teats of the lobsters.
Anyway, so fish is behind me, and so I said, I'm going to have coffee milk. Well, then she says, I'll have coffee milk. And I was like, no. I'll have white milk. And she says, I'll have white milk. And like, I couldn't get through. So I wanted to whisper to the lady, I'll have chocolate. Like, we didn't have to share a carton. Like, you know what I mean? But I was in
first. You just didn't want to be with fish.
I didn't want her to have the same kind of milk as me.
And fish is obviously just trying to be friends with you.
She probably, I mean, maybe she, you know, thought, hey, I'll look up to this.
She wants to bond over milk.
Yeah.
She's like, what's this evasive bitch doing? I'm just trying to set something up here so we can talk.
So, I mean, that's kind of like what it is about Twitter. Like, who really cares? I mean, that's dumb. You don't have to share a carton. You're not sharing a bed. So, I don't know. I mean, if it blows up and it's like, this tweet became queen, then you could say, hey, you know what? Look back on the records. It was mine first.
Yeah. Again, it's like tweets are nothingness. I fully acknowledge that. Every tweet I've ever put out, I would be better served writing it down and trying to release it as something. But putting it out as Twitter, it's nothingness.
Well, it's everybody's. And they say, like, Twitter has that. I mean, that you're putting it out there so Twitter can, you know, they have access to all that. So it's really Twitter's. You're really gifting it to Twitter. So
like, people get so worked up about it, though.
They're like, you know what? If you don't want anything
there are people
on
that
here,
think they're Twitter comedians. I realize by being funny on Twitter, I'm wasting any real jokes that could have done anything because by being on Twitter, they do nothing. Every time I take a thought and put it on Twitter and don't write it down and perform it on stage, I've given away something of value.
Yeah.
I've taken a butterfly and ripped apart its wings and then gone and blown them to the air.
It can fly. It's all right.
It's still fine. It's now just a worm with long antennas.
It's good. He's in a wheelchair.
So don't get pissed that someone else has stolen your thing of literally zero value.
So what they did was, I just saw this little blurb the other day. And so the person said, here's what this Twitter thief did.
Yeah.
And so somebody.
He looked at your feed and tweeted something.
No, somebody. The person said, they're like, you know who wrote this? You know, Steve wrote this, blah, 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 because it was on Facebook. And it was like, you know, if I had a lampshade on my head, whatever it is. And then it was word for word what this person you know, it was this person's material or whatever. But the person said, hey, I didn't realize that this belonged to anyone. I got it in an email. I thought it was funny. So I posted it on Facebook. I didn't realize I'm not looking to blow up with this comment or whatever. And so they're like, yeah, right. Like, you got a tweet in an email. Yeah, right. Thief. But it was like some van mom. You know what I mean?
It drives me nuts. It really drives me nuts.
You know, and
we are lazy, man.
So the person who...
We are lazy and defensive about it.
The person said, you know what? I'm kind of flattered. The person... It was everyone else who was kind of in an uproar about it. Like, they're stealing your crap. He's like, you know what? I'm kind of flattered. I mean, it's nice that it went somewhere. Somebody saw it. It went in an email.
What a novel concept. Yeah. You're putting something out in the world to be shared, and then it's shared. Ooh.
How dare they?
If you're so concerned about it, why don't you make your Twitter feed private, have zero followers, and tweet to yourself? And then you can look at your own timeline and jack to it.
I think I might.
No one stole this.
Maybe I will. I mean, I don't know.
Drives me just crazy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if it's your livelihood, but even people, comedians who tweet their... Actually, you know what else it was? There was Jim Gaffigan had posted something, and he said, it was something to the effect like, you know, how if Folgers is the best part of waking up, like how bad is your life or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess a hailstorm came on him, you know, about it. And they're like, that's Mike Birbiglia's or whatever, Birbiglia or whatever his name is. What is his name?
I don't know. Mike Wop. We got you.
Anyway,
ends with the vowel.
Yeah. And so Gaffigan said, hey, I removed my last tweet because I guess, and he at Mike Birbiglia and said, you know what? I guess he had this similar observation.
It's a really easy line.
Yeah, exactly. Same with World War Z. So I don't think Gaffigan stole it, but that's what they were trying to come down on him. Like, I didn't see it. It was all removed.
All these peasants who have done nothing.
Yeah, they're like, that's Birbiglia's, blah, blah, blah.
He doesn't
blah.
Come to your workplace and say, oh, that's the same way Becky did that report.
Or, yeah, exactly. Oh, you use metal spatulas to fix your burgers?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, bread around that sandwich? You know who else had that idea?
So, I mean, it's just a parallel observation or whatever you called it. Evolution something.
Parallel evolution. Yeah, that's what Darwin.
Fish gills and birds or something. Whatever.
We can go out on that one. Allison, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome, darling.
Stealing my tweets, bitch. I've been watching. You want to see Allison steal everyone's tweets because that's how she makes her bread and butter.
Yeah.
She goes to all the comedians and then doesn't at their name first and just steals their line with no quotation marks.
Yeah, I need to learn what a subtweet is. What's a subtweet? You can teach me later.
Oh, a subtweet, it's really, really stupid.
Oh.
It's when you tweet a broad tweet, like to everyone, but you're kind of referencing like a talk you had with just one person. Like, okay, I screw a chick really hard.
Right.
And she walks out, and then she tweets, man, I just had the pumping of a lifetime, because she's a lady.
Okay.
I'll know that was a subtweet to me, except with the whores I date, it could have been like one of three guys that
but
morning.
But like, how does it work? So if I say, oh, I just had coffee with John, then what?
No.
Oh.
You would say, like, we have coffee.
Yeah.
And then you tweet, I just had coffee with a guy I know has a big prick. That's a subtweet to me, because I'm like, ooh, he's just talking about me. But everyone else is like, who's this mysterious man with a member of the gods?
Oh, so you don't, it's not linked into you at all.
I don't believe so. Like, it's the subtweets outside of Twitter or something.
I don't get
it. It's stupid as hell.
You'll have to explain.
The more time you spend on Twitter, the more you lose your soul. That's why I've peeled way back. If I'm not promoting inpapasbasement.com or talking about Mad Men, I'm not really on Twitter.
Well, I don't know what a subtweet is.
You just learned. Best explanation in the business. You just got it twice. Allison, okay. They want to get a hold of you on Twitter. It's at Allison Frank, AllisonFrank. God damn.
You cannot say that.
KKK.
Easy, Tiger.
Allison, FrankKKK. Exactly. That's your racist account.
Now we can't come to public access anymore.
That's the one where you need to approve your followers because the tweets are protected.
That's crazy.
Me, John Papa Giorgio, I'm at Papa's Basement. Again, the show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Go there. You're going to get a new episode every Monday and every Thursday of the show, an hour of pure ear joy.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Ooh.
And someone else probably said that before, so I'm stealing from them. And every Friday, I review the movies of the week that I haven't seen yet. Click on the iTunes link at the top of the page. Find us on iTunes, subscribe to us, and rate us positively. Okay. Cannot say that enough. You have to subscribe. You don't have to download us through stupid iTunes.
Yeah.
I've subscribed. I never listen to my own damn show. What kind of narcissist do you think I am?
All right.
But I've subscribed, so it shows I have an extra subscriber.
I gotcha.
All right. We're out.
Bye.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.